around. This morning's scripture comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. And again, I know Kings is sometimes a little tricky to find, and you're more than welcome to open the front of your Bible, the table of contents, and to do that. So again, this is 1 Kings chapter 18. A reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of the drought, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain to the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab's son Obadiah, he was in charge of the palace. Now Obadiah revered the Lord greatly. When Jezebel was killing all the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them 50 to a cave, and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water, to all the wadis. Perhaps we will find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, and not lose some of the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in their direction by himself. As Obadiah went on the way, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, fell on his face, and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" He answered him, "It is I. Go, tell your lord that Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would hand your servant over to Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom to which my Lord has not sent to seek you. And they would say, 'He is not here.' He require an oath of the kingdom of the nation that they had not found you. But now you say, 'Go tell your Lord Elijah is here.' As soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where. So when I come and tell Ahab he cannot find you, he will kill me, though I, your servant, have revered the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and provided them with bread and water? Yet now you say, 'Go, tell your Lord Elijah is here. Surely he will kill me.'" Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, for whom I stand, I will surely show myself him to him this day." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore have all Israel assembled before me at Mount Carmel, with the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who did Jezebel's table." So Elijah sent to all the Israelites, and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord your God is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophet is number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut in pieces, and lay on the wood, but put no fire on it. I will prepare their bull and lay on the wood, but no fire on it. Then you call the name of your God, and I will call the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God." And all the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Then call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it." So they took the bull that was given to them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, crying, "O Baal, Ahasuerus. There was no voice, no answer. They limp about the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud. Sure he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be waking up." Then they cried loud, as was their custom. They cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on till the time of offering oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the Lord had came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next, he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, lay on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars of water and pour it on the burnt offering in the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran around the altar and filled the trenches with water. At the time of the offering oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, and do not let one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to Wadi Kishon and killed them there. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain." So Elijah went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. There he bowed himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He said to his servants, "Go up now and look towards the sea." He went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Then he said, "Go again 7 times. At the 7th time, the servant said, "Look, a little cloud no bigger than a person's hand is rising out of the sea." Then he said, "Go to Ahab and say, harness your chariot and go down, for the rain stops you." In a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Ahab rose off to Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was with Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran from Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we have one of the great showdowns in the Bible. Recall last week how Ahab became ruler of Israel, and he led the people astray from the Lord. And then he married a lady by the name of Jezebel, a follower of Baal. And as a result of this disobedience, it's like the Lord gave the keys to the heavens to Elijah. And Elijah said, "By my command, there will not be any rain or dew on the ground until I said so." And so a great drought came upon the land of Israel. And we talk about how the Lord provided by Elijah. First, he sent him to a wadi, and there he drank the water. And in the morning and evening, the ravens would come and bring him food, like a little bird DoorDash. But when the wadi, the stream, dried up, the Lord sent him down to one of the cities of the Sidonites, Jezebel's home court. And there he met a widow, 5'6", picking up sticks. "Ma'am, give me some water, and give me some bread." "Oh, prophet, we only got a little bit of food left. I'm about to cook it, and then my son and I are going to go lay down and die of starvation." "Ma'am, as the Lord lives, you will not run out of food." And she responded in faith, And no matter how many times she cooked supper, there was always food ready to be cooked. And then the day came when her son grew ill and died. And she said, "Oh, man of God, what have you done? Have you punished me for some sin in the past?" And Elijah took the young boy upstairs and prayed over him and stretched out three times. And on the third time, the young man arose, and Elijah handed him back to his mother. Well, here this morning, as we look at this chapter, we start off where the Lord tells Elijah, "Elijah, show yourself to Ahab, and there will rain." And so Elijah is on his way. Meanwhile, Ahab's in the palace, and he calls in Obadiah. "Obadiah, I need to talk to you." And Obadiah's a little scared. He's thinking, "Uh-oh. Well, I hope the boss didn't know that I got 100 prophets hidden out in the caves I've been taking care of on the side here. He's probably thinking he's in trouble. Obadiah, our horses and mules need grass. We need to find some grass. I'm going to go this way on the map. You go that way. And we'll meet back. We got to find some grass for the horses and mules, Obadiah." "Oh, yes, sir, boss. We'll do that." And so here's Obadiah looking for grass. And he sees this hairy man covered with furs. "Are you the prophet Elijah?" "I am. Go tell your master, Ahab, that I am here. I want to speak to him." "Oh, man, I mean, we can't do that now, because I know how this works. My boss has been looking all over for you. You are on the FBI most wanted list. He even talks to other kings, make them swear an oath that you're not in their kingdoms. He is looking for you. And if I say you're here and he comes here and you ain't here, then I'll get in trouble. And you know me, I've got 100 prophets hidden away he doesn't know about. So I can't do that." You see, Obadiah responded with fear, wondering what's going to happen. But Elijah responded in faith and said, "As the Lord lives, I'll be here for King Ahab." So Obadiah goes and says, "Ahab, hey boss, I found Elijah. He wants to talk to you." And here comes Ahab on his horse and sees Elijah and his furs and all that hair. And "It's not you who troubles Israel." And Elijah pulls on punches and said, "Is thou my household that trouble Israel? For you have led the people astray. But today I want you to call all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. And I want you to bring the 450 prophets of Baal. And meanwhile, bring their buddies, those 400 prophets of Asherah, to Jezebel's table." And Ahab, for some reason, agrees to this. Now, if you think about the math here, 450 Baal prophets, 400 Asherah prophets, that sounds like 850. 850 false prophets going up against one prophet. Now, when you do the math, that should tell you the one's going to lose, right? It's 150 against one. But see, you're using human math and human logic. And so many of God's people, when things get a little tough, things get a little scary, they want to cut and run. But instead, Elijah said, "Let's have a little showdown." And Elijah turns to the people and says, "People of Israel, how long are you going to live between two sides? If you want to serve Baal, serve Baal. If you want to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. But at least pick a side." And they like, they didn't say anything. They were on the fence. Elijah said, "Well, let's do a little showdown. Let's have two altars. And the prophets of Baal can go first. And they can put a calf there. And I'll do a calf over here. And then they can pray to their god, Baal. I can pray to my god, the Lord, and we'll see who lights up the altar." The people said, "That sounds good." So the prophets of Baal go first. And they used to get out there and do all that chanting and carrying on and all that. "Oh, Baal, answer us." But nothing happened. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think very much there is a demonic presence in this world that can do supernatural events. I have heard and read the testimony of folks who are Christians who say, before I became a Christian, I was involved in the cult, and I saw some craziness going on. He said, I believe in the devil, for I believe in Jesus, because I saw it firsthand. But you know, Satan, though, has a tendency to double-cross his followers. Here they were, chanting to these false gods and gods, and nothing was happening. And then Elijah kind of chimes in at noon. He says, well, cry a little louder. No, he might be asleep, or maybe he's thinking, or maybe he went on vacation. You know, wake him up. And they cry louder, and then they start taking knives and cutting themselves. Some blood was gushing. Part of that pagan ritual. Then finally, Elijah said, well, time's up. You had your chance. It's my turn. And then, like a good teacher, he turned to the people of Israel and said, come a little closer. I want y'all to see this. And first, he rebuilds the altar of the Lord. It had fallen into disrepair. So he sets those 12 stones, each stone representing a tribe of Israel. Busts the wood on there, and then he digs a little moat, a ditch around it. Tells people, somebody go get me 4 buckets of water. Now, that's kind of crazy during a drought, right? Get 4 buckets. Pour in that wood. Now do it again. Do it again. 3 times they did that. So much so that the water had soaked the wood and was overflowing and made a little moat around that altar. And then here comes the kicker. He prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all the things that you are bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, that you have turned their hearts back. What is that, 2 verses at most? And yet, 1 prophet with 2 verses going against 450 prophets who did this all that craziness all morning long. What happened next? Whoosh! The fire came down from heaven, burned up that offering, and was so intense it evaporated the water around that altar. And when the people saw that, they feared God and they fell their faces and said, the Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God. And then they proceeded to kill these false prophets. Then Elijah turns over to King Ahab, who I'm sure was in shock, and says, you better go up and eat and drink, for I hear the sound of a rushing rain. And it says Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down upon the earth, put his face on his knees, prayed, told his servants to go look toward the sea. I don't see nothing. Do that 7 more times. And on the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud about the size of a fist. And he said, you better tell Ahab, you better hurry up. You won't get soaking wet in the downpour. And so Ahab rode off into Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was Elijah, and whoosh, he outran old Ahab in that chariot down to the city hall. Now, what about us this morning? We get discouraged, and we find ourselves in situations that we particularly don't like. Do we give up? Get down and out? Do we just kind of run and cut and say, well, it's got a little too hot for me. I need to mow this along. Or, well, I mean, it's just me and all these 450. I'll just mow this along here. Or do we do what we should do? And we fight our battles on our knees and use the most effective tool we have in our toolbox, the power of prayer. Listen to what Brother James, the brother of Jesus, said as he closes up the book of James. He wrote, pray for one another so you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on the earth. And when he prayed again, the harvest, the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. James wrote to his fellow Jewish brothers and Christians who were Christians and said, you know, Elijah was just like us. He was human. And yet when he prayed, he sailed up to the heavens. And when he prayed again, the heavens opened. The prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, one, be sure that you are a righteous person. You're living to the Lord's commands. And two, do not underestimate the power of prayer. I don't care how much the enemy comes up against you, number-wise. The prayers of a righteous person, singular, can avail much. And you might be surprised what the Lord can do to you in your life, working through you. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, this morning I invite you to open your blue hymnal.